The message this morning comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 56. And this is what it says. One day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And they went and woke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging waves, and they ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that he commands even winds and water, and they obey him?" Then they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When Jesus had stepped out on land, there met him a man from the city who had demons. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house but among the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me," for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many a time it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to command them to depart into the abyss. Now a large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside, and they begged him to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. Now when Jesus returned, the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she had not hidden, she came, that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. This is the Word of God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the Word of God stands and abides forever. May God bless the reading of it and the preaching of it to you this morning. In this section of Luke, starting in verse 22 and going to the end of the chapter, there are four miracles. There's the miracle over the wind and the raging waves on the Sea of Galilee in verses 22 to 25. And then in verse 29 to 39, you see the miracle of expelling demons from the maniac in the country of the Gerasenes. And then in the next section, verses 40 to 56, there are two miracles. One involving a woman with a disease, and the other involving raising a girl from the dead. These four events reveal some things about the person of Jesus. The stories of these events are here to teach us who Jesus is. So who is this man, Jesus? First of all, he is the master of nature. The story begins, one day he got into a boat with his disciples and he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." The lake is the Sea of Galilee. On the west is the region of Galilee with towns like Nain and Nazareth and Cana and Capernaum. To the east are the brown fields and with hills that rise several thousand feet high. To the north is ultimately Great Mount Hermon, snow-capped throughout the year. The lake itself is oval-shaped, about 13 miles or so long, about 7 miles wide. It is around that Sea of Galilee that many of the great events in our Lord's ministry, in His earthly ministry, took place. For example, it was around that sea that He chose His disciples. They were fishermen. It was around that sea that He fed the 5,000. It was around the sea that He Himself lived in Capernaum when He was carrying on His ministry. He had been busy for the day preaching, and He was tired from the day of ministering to the crowds. And at the conclusion of it, when the crowds were dismissed, He spoke to the apostles and the disciples and said, "Let's cross over to the eastern shore." And He Himself entered into the boat, and He went over to a place to lay down and rest. So they set out, and as they sailed, He fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in danger. And the disciples went and woke Him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And He awoke, and He rebuked the wind and the waves. And they ceased, and there was a calm. This is a picture of a force entirely beyond the control of the disciples, but it is not beyond the control of Jesus. The disciples were at the mercy of the storm, but the storm was at the mercy of Jesus. He speaks, and it ceases. There's a hymn in our hymn book called "Be Still My Soul." And one of the verses in that hymn says, "The wind and the waves still know Him who ruled them when He dwelt below." The wind and the waves still know the voice of Him who ruled them when He dwelt below. Jesus said to the disciples, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid, and they marveled, saying to one another, "Who then is this that He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him?" Who then is this that He commands even winds and water, and they obey Him? Who is this man who speaks to the wind and the sea, and the wind and the sea obey Him? That is the question the disciples asked after seeing Jesus silence the raging winds and waves on the Sea of Galilee. The obvious answer is, only God can do that. And this is why those men were afraid, because God was in that boat. They feared not the winds and the waves anymore, but the one who made them and the one who controls them. He was in their boat. And He was asking them, "Where is your faith?" As if they should have already known who was in the boat with them. He was not rebuking them for being frightened in the midst of a life-threatening situation. These men could have died. It would have been very easy for this boat to capsize and for them to sink to the bottom. But what Jesus is asking them to consider is, if they have adequately understood who it is who is with them in the boat, and if they have factored that reality into their life-threatening situation, and if they have put their faith in Him adequately for the living of this Christian life, where is your faith? Do you trust in Me? Do you know who I am? Do you know what I'm able to do? Do you understand who He is? Do you know what He is able to do? He is the master of nature. Secondly, He is the master of the demonic. They landed on the other side of the sea after the storm and met a demon-possessed man. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and he fell down before Him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with Me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" That was the demons inside the man speaking, and it is a curious thing that they knew exactly who Jesus was. They knew Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. How did they know? They knew because demons are angelic beings, fallen angels. In the book of Revelation, we see the earth in great turmoil and tribulation. The inhabitants of the earth are experiencing pain and suffering and deprivation from war and famine and disease and natural disasters and supernatural forces. Revelation chapter 12 identifies the character who is behind all of this turmoil in the earth. He is identified as that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. He is Satan. Satan is a created being. God is the only eternal self-existent being, and He is the creator of all things, including angels. Satan originally belonged to that class of creatures of God in heaven called angels. God created the angels before He created the earth. There's a passage in Job 38 where God is questioning Job about the creation of the earth, and it implies that the angels were there, observing God's work. God said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." The morning stars and the sons of God there in Job 38 are probably angels. And they were there when God created the earth. According to that passage, as an angel, Satan is a spiritual being not having a body but able to inhabit a body. He has access to the heavenly and spiritual realms. He has supernatural abilities. Satan was the highest created being of God. Ezekiel 28:12-15 describes Satan as he was before he defected. "Thus says the Lord God, you were the signet of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering: sardius, topaz and diamond, beryl, onyx and jasper, sapphire, emerald and carbuncle. And crafted in gold were your settings and your engravings. On the day that you were created, they were prepared. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were on the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked." All of God's angels were created in a state of holiness, but Satan did not continue that way. Ezekiel 28:15 says, "You were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." Unrighteousness was found in Satan. Isaiah 14:12-17 describes his fall from holiness. "How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid the nations low. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the Mount of Assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to Sheol, to the far reaches of the pit. Those who see you will stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home?" When Satan rebelled against God, he took a great many of the angels with him. Revelation 12:4 says his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven, which probably refers to a third of the angels in heaven. Those angels became the demons that you read about in the New Testament. Demons are angelic beings. They are spiritual beings. They are super powerful beings. They are evil beings. They destroy human lives. How they ever get a foothold in human lives, I do not know. But it would be good advice to not engage in the kind of activity that would invite them in. Demons have ruined this man's life. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombs. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and he would be driven by the demon into the desert. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion, for many demons had entered him." Jesus expelled the demons from him and into a herd of pigs and down into the lake and drowned. Then people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And those who had seen it told them how the demon-possessed man had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked him to depart from them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus had done for him. So Jesus is the master of the demonic. Thirdly, he is the master of disease. Jesus returned to the other side of the lake, and the crowd welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue. And falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood was ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had been immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Jesus is on the way to Jairus' house, and he is interrupted by this woman in the crowd with a blood disease. Jairus' daughter was 12 years old and dying. And here is a woman who has had a blood disease for 12 years. She has been sick for as many years as Jairus' daughter has been alive. Luke is a physician, and Luke the physician says she had spent all her living on physicians, and she could not be healed by anyone. She had heard about Jesus, and she believed that He could heal her. If she could just touch Him, she could be healed. She touched Him, and she was healed. And Jesus called her out to say to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." So Jesus is the master of disease. Fourthly, He's the master of death. While He was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear. Only believe and she will be well." And when He came to the house, He allowed no one to enter with Him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her, but He said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at Him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, He called, saying, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And He directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed. But He charged them to tell no one what had happened. Why does Jesus say this girl is not dead, but sleeping? Because when you're sleeping, you're resting and you are not active, and your still body may even appear to be dead. But when you are sleeping, you are going to wake up. Jesus knew this girl was dead, but He was going to wake her up from the dead, and He did. He raised her from the dead. And that is a picture of every Christian who dies. When a Christian dies, he rests from his labors. His body rests in a grave. Not only that, when a Christian dies, he doesn't really die. He dies physically, and there is a separation of soul and body, but he's still living in the presence of the Lord. That's where his spirit is. But most of all, when a man is sleeping, he is to awaken. And so the man who sleeps in our Lord is to awaken in resurrection. He's going to have a body like unto Jesus Christ's own glorious body, because Jesus is the master over death. Who is this man who silenced the wind and the waves? Who is this man who scattered the powers of darkness? Who is this man who subdued diseases? Who is this man who snatched the daughter of Jairus from the jaws of death? Luke does not bother to answer that question for us because it is so obvious. This is no ordinary man. This man is none other than the eternal Son of God who stepped out of eternity into the stream of human history by the normal process of human birth as the God-man. They named Him Jesus because He was on a redemptive mission. He grew up and lived among men as a man, subject to the same trials and temptations as we are, yet without sin. When the historical part of His mission was finished, He voluntarily returned to His Father through the avenue of death at the hands of His own creatures. That death is what saves us, for He died in our place for our sins. He made a substitutionary atonement for us. He lived to save us. He died to save us. He rose from the dead to save us. He lives today in heaven interceding for us. We are waiting for His return. He invites us to come to Him by faith. He demands that we live for Him. He is still the Lord of nature, but He won't silence all the storms of your life. Instead, He will remove the curse from nature. when He returns and the creation will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. In the meantime, it gives us security to know that Jesus is in control of nature. He is still the Lord of demons, and the forces of darkness are still reeling from His presence, even though they still plague us. But the devil and his demons will be thrown into the lake of fire forever at the end of the age. Justice will be served. It gives us some satisfaction to know that good will prevail over evil in the end. He is still the Lord of disease, but He won't cure all of your diseases now. Instead, He will give us new bodies one day that are not subject to disease. It gives us hope that there is a better life to come. He is still the Lord of death and able to raise the dead, but He won't raise your children from the dead now. Instead, when He returns, He will do away with death for His children. Revelation 21, 3 and 4 speaks of that future time when He will do away with death. Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Jesus is Savior and Lord and King. Have you embraced Him as your Savior and Lord and King? If you have not, then I pray that the Holy Spirit will open your eyes to see this Jesus for who He is and enable you to respond to Him in faith for the salvation of your soul. Amen.